Radio. Hi, I'm Sarah and you're listening to Cradio. Today I'm joined by Debbie Garrett, who's a registered nurse and the Executive Director of Real Choices Australia. Debbie, thanks for joining me today.
Hi Sarah, thanks for chatting to me.
Firstly, could you tell me a bit about the background of Real Choices Australia, the sort of work you do there and how it came about?
Sure. We established in 2007. Really to what we saw as a market gap in the gathering and dissemination of information about the needs of women experiencing unintended pregnancy, and specifically about the adverse impact of abortion. There's been a lot of international and national research done that suggests some fairly serious mental health impacts for a significant percentage of women around abortion, and we didn't see this information getting out into the public arena. So that was how we, you know, first established, and that's what we've been doing for the last 5 years, is gathering that information, participating in research, disseminating that information, as well as piloting some programs to meet the needs of women with unintended pregnancy in communities.
What led you into this sort of work? Was it personal experience with post-abortive women, or just research that you just didn't feel was getting out there?
Look, my background in dealing with post-abortive women was actually when I was director of a national crisis counselling phone service, and we would receive phone calls from post-abortive women, and it was concerning that there wasn't actually enough information around to provide the counsellors with appropriate training for how to deal with this particular issue. And it's such a politicised issue, and, you know, there are such polarised views around it, that it was a very difficult area for dealing with. And then in my private practice as a nurse counsellor, working with women who were suffering post-abortively, who would describe their experience as one in which they had felt as though they really didn't have a lot of choice, and they had certainly lacked enough information to feel that they were fully informed.
So you sort of already touched on this question a little bit, but I often do hear the stories of women who people will meet at abortion clinics. Often they'll say they don't have a choice, and this seems to be a common experience, but where do you think that's coming from, this feeling that they just don't have a choice in the matter?
I think it's that, I suspect it's that abortion almost seems to have become a bit of a default position for almost every pregnancy. You know, we hear stories from young married women who excitedly visit their doctor for their first prenatal visit, having done a home pregnancy test, only to be confronted with the question of, well, so are you going to continue with the pregnancy? And they'll be quite shocked. It's as though, certainly for the experience of some young women that we speak to, those in their early 20s who are the highest risk group for having abortions, then they're really, what they're presented with is, well, if you want to have a career, or you want to continue your education, or you want to prosper in the future, this is really the only thing you can do if you're pregnant, is to have an abortion. It's the best thing, it's the quickest thing, and they're often not presented with other alternatives. So when a woman hears that from a variety of sources, whether it be her friends or her family, and also an abortion clinic where it's possible for her to, you know, ring in the morning, present 2 hours later and come out having had her abortion that afternoon, which is something that doesn't happen with any other surgical procedure in the country, there's not a lot of room there for really thinking through what the other options might be.
So you say there abortion is often presented as the default solution to a myriad of issues surrounding a crisis pregnancy. So what are the most common reasons that they will look to terminate the pregnancy? But also, is it really a solution? What are some of the risks involved with the decision to abort,
The reasons women seek abortion are really incredibly complex, and it's not usually, you know, I sometimes hear, you know, it's about convenience. I don't believe it's about convenience. I think it is. I don't believe that this is just a simple, mundane experience that women go through, you know, and you know, walk in, walk out, and forget about it the next day. I think it is it's a very serious thing that women experience, but they don't necessarily take the time to fully process it before they make that decision. And the reasons are complex. It will be a combination of things like pressure to work or pressure to stay at school, combined with maybe a lack of supportive partner or parents who they perceive may be unwilling to support them, housing issues, economic issues, how am I going to afford to keep a baby, those kinds of things. 95% of overall number of abortions are done for what we call psychosocial reasons. So it's all those reasons I've just presented. At, you know, economic, social and relational. But more than 50% even of late-term abortions are also done for psychosocial reasons. And so these are abortions past the 20-week period, many of them even past 28 weeks in Victoria in 2009, where the woman has some kind of emotional, social or relational problem, and what we're applying to that problem is this surgical solution, which really is just a way of society saying, and the medical profession saying, well, this is the simplest thing to do, but invariably it doesn't turn out to be the simplest thing for the woman. We know that international research tells us that around 20% of women will suffer serious prolonged mental health adverse effects following abortion. And that's not insignificant. If we think that there are 70 to 75,000 abortions done in Australia each year, we're looking at between, you know, 10 and 14,000 women, when you account for women having more than one abortion, suffering some kind of mental health problem. That is a very large number of women whose social and professional and educational and relational worlds are being negatively impacted because of abortion, because of the solution we offered them to fix that social problem. It just doesn't make any sense, when in fact there is no quality, well, really no international evidence of a health benefit for women from abortion. If we could fix and apply solutions for the social and relational problems rather than this default position of abortion, we would at least be saying to women, we care about your social problems.
A lot of the work you do is around education. How much of a difference does education make? Is that a large part of the problem, just this lack of information available?
Yeah, look, I think it is an absolutely enormous problem, the lack of information. And again, that is about the fact that abortion is so politicised, and it is such, you know, it's so ideologically polarised that it is incredibly difficult to get the information out. When I speak to people in the public square, people are absolutely shocked, usually, when they hear the truth. People are shocked when they hear that women can have abortions up till birth in Victoria. They're shocked to hear that most late-term abortions are done for psychosocial reasons. They're shocked to hear that there are women out there who are saying, you know, I didn't really feel like I had a choice. I felt rushed. They're also shocked to hear that you know, there are abortion advocacy groups who say that we shouldn't make counselling compulsory for women pre-abortion. We shouldn't make waiting periods compulsory. We shouldn't put any barriers in the way, because it's patronising to women. Yet these same groups will say abortion is just like any other surgical procedure. What we argue is, if it is just like any other surgical or medical procedure, we at least need to apply the same rules. You can't walk in and out of a clinic demanding, you know, genetic testing or cosmetic surgery or, you know, a myriad of other treatments whether elective treatments of any description without certain rules and guidelines applying around them. Getting that information out to the public is very, very difficult. It is very difficult to get mainstream media to pick it up. It is very difficult to get it out there without really being quite often hostilely attacked by abortion advocates who seem to react out of this dreadful fear that if it becomes known that abortion can indeed be harmful for a certain sector of women, that it will no longer be available for anybody. And that's not actually what we're geared up to do. We're not activists. We're not lobbying against abortion availability. We don't, discuss the pros and cons of abortion availability for those women who say they've experienced it positively. But we absolutely object to the fact that women whose experiences have been negative are being denied a voice.
Great. Well, there's plenty more we could go into, but I happen to know that you'll be speaking at the University of Notre Dame tomorrow evening about the options that are available to women experiencing crisis pregnancies.
Yes.
So for our Sydney-based listeners, Debbie will be speaking at the University of Notre Dame tomorrow evening, so that's 6 p.m. Thursday, 25th of October, and she'll be joined by two guest panellists, Anna Crone and Dr. Davina Graham. So you can visit the Cradio site for details or find the event via the Notre Dame Chaplaincy page on Facebook. And you can find out more about Real Choices Australia at realchoices.org.au. So Debbie, thanks so much for your time today. It's been a privilege.
Great. Thanks, Sarah.
Radio.org.au